Every time I read this gospel or proclaim it at Mass, I'm drawn back to my pre-priesthood days when I taught at Billings Central Catholic High School. I was a religion teacher. I was straight out of college, graduated from Gonzaga, went right back in to teach high school. I was like 4 years older than the seniors, okay? No beard, way less gray hair, way more hair, actually. And like any good first-year teacher, I fell into the trap that all the veteran teachers laid. They all knew, like, we need chaperones for school dances. And who would be best to do that? Oh, the new guy, all right? So I got roped into the yearbook dance, is what it was called. And so that was when the yearbooks came out. And there was two teachers on duty, myself and the yearbook teacher. And she was like busy, you know, having kids sign off and check out their book and stuff. And then we had some parents who were also chaperoning this dance. And everything was going just fine. And it happened to be during the NBA playoffs. So I ducked out to watch my man, John Stockton. It was way back then when John Stockton played, when men were men and shorts were short, all right? And I'm watching a game. They're playing the Utah Jazz. It was a game seven. And I'm like, okay. And I literally was gone for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, the dance, which was so fine, so normal, so good and healthy, went decidedly south. And I walked in after checking the score and watching like 3 minutes of game time. And I saw not just the students, but my students, because I taught all the sophomores in religion. My sophomores had transformed the dance floor into a den of iniquity. There was dancing that should not be going on between anybody who's not married, okay? Certainly not 16-year-olds. So I had the fury of Moses in me as he came off the mountain and saw the Israelites worshiping the golden calf. And I charged right in to the circle. And I'm like physically separating people. Over here, over here, over here. And then I'll never, ever forget. I had three girls who I love dearly and remember to this day. Tabitha DeLeo, Star Wilcox, and Roberta Quintana. They saw me, and they misinterpreted my zeal for the Lord as zeal for something else. Because Roberta came up to me and was like, "Ooh, Mr. Manaman." I'm like, "That is not what's going on right now, Berta. And we are going to definitely talk about this on Monday in class." Now, in retrospect, now that's a great story for me, but in retrospect, I could have done something really simple and saved myself from that kind of horrendous memory of 16-year-olds like trying to whatever. Okay. All I needed to do was just go to the cafeteria wall and turn on the lights, and everything would have stopped. Think about that for a second, the power of light and the power of light over darkness. Those are powerful spiritual themes, aren't they? Light and darkness, and we hear about them in the gospel. Spiritual truths. Sin loves darkness. Sin loves darkness. Another truth, God is light. God loves to shine his light. In fact, in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the bearer of light, the light giver, the light of heaven shining on earth. not just from heaven, but on earth, through him who is the light. And we get some very powerful and hope-filled, light-filled words in the gospel today. The famous John 3:16, the official verse of NFL touchdown celebrations, the extra point, right? You see it in the end zone all the time, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. That's John 3:16, and that's such a good, good verse. Who doesn't want that light? God makes it possible, his light shining upon us, giving us eternal life, saving us from the darkness of sin. But then, my friends, just two verses later, here's what John has to say. But this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. People preferred darkness to light. Why would we prefer darkness to light? Now, in your own life, sometimes darkness is scary, right? When you're a little kid. But also this, has there ever been times when darkness was your ally, where you preferred darkness? I can't think of any high schooler who sneaks out of the house or stays out past curfew, who comes home and immediately turns on all the lights. We don't do that in our natural lives. We don't do it in our spiritual lives either. We prefer darkness when we're in sin. And John is very real about that. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to get to Mass or go to church or even come and pray when you're sinning in your life? Have you ever recognized that resistance in you? We all have it. As sinners, we want to hide from the light. Darkness becomes a supposed ally. And maybe we just put things off and we say, well, as long as I can't see it, I won't have to deal with it. And maybe it's because of this, that God's light, the light that he shines on us, the light that he is a light of truth. When God shines his light on me and on you, he reveals what's really there. And part of us doesn't want to see what's really there. That's just real, and that's just truth. It's why the church begins every Mass with an acknowledgement of sin. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. And in that moment, what we're doing is we're calling it into light. We're bringing something from the shadows into the light because it's real. The light of God demands truth, brings truth, exposes reality. But listen, we should not be afraid of that light. As much as it calls us beyond ourselves, and by the way, in this culture, always, always, always be suspicious of anybody who says, you're perfect in every way. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's fine in your life. Do whatever you want to do. Always be suspicious of someone who says that. The reason being is because it's simply not true. It's not true for you. It's certainly not true for me. There are things in my life that need to change. There are things in your life that need to change. Don't hide those things away in the darkness, but rather bring them into the light of truth. And as Jesus exposes what needs to change, he will give grace so that you can change. Jesus is all about truth. I know last week we were on spring break, but the gospel that you likely heard at Mass was Jesus driving out the money changers in the temple. There's a judgment there because Jesus' light burns like a fire. He drives out things that don't belong. And as he did that for the temple in Jerusalem, he desperately wants to do it much more for the temple that is in your heart. So his light exposes realities. But that judgment, though, is also this. The light of God's love is not just judgment on sin, but is also mercy for the sinner. Let me say that again. The light of God's love is not just judgment on sin, it also is mercy for the sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave us Jesus so that you and I could be saved. St. Paul, second reading tonight. God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, the judgment that Jesus renders on this world is a judgment on sin. It is also a judgment that you and I, though not worthy of his love, are somehow given that love. We don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve the opposite. But the Lord gives it, and he gives it joyfully and generously. And so we are called to come to him. And at the beginning of the gospel, we heard great lines. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, that reference in the Old Testament is a great one. The people are sinning against God. And the consequence of that sin is that serpents come who bite the people and torment them. And Moses is commanded to lift a pole up and put on it a bronze serpent. And as the people gaze upon that bronze serpent, they are healed. And so when this reference in the Gospel of John comes, we have a clear movement toward the one who is lifted up on the cross, Jesus. As we gaze upon the one who is lifted up, we are healed. We are healed because the truth of our sinfulness is both brought forward into the light, but is also brought into contact with the one who saves us from that sinfulness, the one whose mercy is more powerful than our brokenness, the one whose yes for you and for me is more powerful than our no toward him could ever be. And so we are called to lift up our eyes and gaze upon him who saves us. When you look at the crucifix, Mother Teresa said, you see how much Jesus loved you then. But then she takes it one step further. She says, when you look upon Jesus in the Eucharist, you see how much he loves you now. There's a beautiful moment in Mass when the priest lifts up the host, the real presence of Jesus, and says, behold. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, to gaze upon, to look with deep contemplation and awareness. My friends, the more you and I look upon Jesus that way, the more the perfect purity of his love, the perfect light of his love, casts out the darkness in our hearts. And the reason that's so beautiful is this. No sin that you've ever committed, no sin is greater than God's love for you, because none of your sins are infinite. You are a finite being, and so your sins are finite. Jesus is an infinite being, and his love and his mercy is infinite. So when you and I look upon the Lord on the cross, but especially tonight as we look upon him when he is made present in our midst in the Eucharist, his love triumphs over the darkness of our hearts. His mercy casts out our sins, and he brings us into the light. And my friends, that light is joyful and good and real and strong. So may we have wisdom tonight. May we have courage tonight to look upon Jesus, to look upon the one who has been lifted up for us, the one who will be lifted up for us. And as we look upon him, may we know that his love is the greatest power in our lives, that his truth undoes anything in us that is a lie, that his mercy triumphs over any sin, and that his light shines brighter than any darkness. What a great gift. May we say yes to it tonight and every day of our lives.